It is good to be able to be with you today. I just regret the circumstances of it. Anna has been very ill throughout the week, still doing very poorly. Prayerful that they'll get her somewhere to have something done that would help correct the situation. But since Brother David could not be here, and he was really regretting it, when I came by his house this morning, you can just tell it was hurting him that he wasn't going to be able to be here today. And he wanted to be here very, very much. But I'm glad to have the opportunity to come and share with you again, especially on this Mother's Day, very special day. I don't know if you know the history of Mother's Day, how it came to be or not, but it goes all the way back to 1908 when a lady by the name of Anna Jarvis sought to have some type of memorial for her mother who had passed away a couple of years earlier. And she set up a time there at St. Andrew's Methodist Church there in Virginia, at Grafton, Virginia. And after having done that, the movement was started then to have a day of recognition for mothers. And it went to the Congress, and they discussed it. One of the interesting things that I found as I was researching this some time back was that as they began to promote a Mother's Day, some of those in Congress said, no, we can't do that, because if we have a Mother's Day, we're going to have a Mother's-in-Law Day, a Mother's-in-Law Day. And they resented that idea. But it went on, and in 1914, Woodrow Wilson made a proclamation that the second Sunday in May would be observed as Mother's Day to recognize the bond that mothers have with the children and the influence that mothers have upon our society. And so it has been so since then that on the second Sunday in May that we recognize our mothers, and that's as it should be because of the tremendous importance that mothers play in our society today, in the home, and the stability of the home lies so much today in the life of the mom when it should lie in the dad. But sadly to say, sometimes the strength of the home lies with the mother. We think about mothers and we want to honor mothers, and we've done so this morning in different ways. And sometimes we just like to nominate a mother of the year. And I got to thinking about this and began to think about biblical moms, moms throughout the scripture, that as we would read about their lives, that we might say, hey, they'd be a candidate for mother of the year. Well, you could begin at the beginning with that of Eve. And surely we would have to recognize Eve as being the first mom of all. Even though her family was somewhat divided, she was still yet the first mom. And you could move all the way through scripture for Sarah, Abraham's wife. You could look at Hannah, dear Hannah, that desired so to have a child and could not. And she continued to pray to God that he would give her a son, and if he would do so, she would give the son back to him to be a servant of his. And he gave her Samuel. You go all the way through the Old Testament, and there would come up with names like Ruth. And Ruth not only took care of her own family, but her in-laws also. I mean, Naomi. And Naomi and Ruth and their relationship they had. Surely Naomi was a good mom. And I guess you would have to come all the way down to finally to the New Testament. And there was Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Surely she'd be a candidate and probably the mother of the year. But as I was going down the list, I ran across one that I thought would be the most unlikely candidate for mother of the year. The most unlikely candidate. I want you to take your Bible, turn to the Old Testament, to Joshua, the second chapter of Joshua. And Joshua is preparing to enter into the promised land, the land of Canaan, to begin to move in advance of taking over that kingdom. And one of his first obstacles is going to be Jericho. And so when you get to chapter 2, he sends some spies out. He chooses two men who are going to be spies that's going to go into Jericho and begin to spy out the area so that they can come back and report how that they might be able to take Jericho. So chapter 2, look at verse 1 following. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out from Chittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went And they came into a harlot's house named Rahab, and they lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men and hither to tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to you, which are entered into your house, for they have come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wished not as to where they are. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gates, when it was dark, that the men went out, and whither the men went, I won't not. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, hid them under the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up to the rooftop, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, in Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we'd heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. And that you will save, I'm sorry, therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord's, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourself there 3 days until the pursuers return. And afterward may you go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou hast let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household come home to you. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our heads, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit, or we be without this oath which thou hast made us. And she said, according unto your words, let it be. We've read this story so many times. And we think about the conquering of Jericho and the importance of this story is. How that the spies came in, but the strange thing about it is that when the spies came in, they went straight to the harlot's house. They went straight to Rahab's house. Now, Rahab's house set up on the walls of Jericho. Now, the walls of Jericho were so thick that you could have driven a chariot around those walls. And they actually were lodging places upon the wall where Rahab's home was. They came to Rahab, and Rahab protected the spies of God that had been sent to spy out Jericho. However, in doing so, she made them sign an agreement, if we would today, made them take an oath that they would bring no harm to her and to her family. They agreed. We know that if you turn on over, I believe it's in the 5th chapter, when the walls of Jericho fall, when all the Israelites came in, they saw the scarlet thread that was there at the window of Rahab, and they took her and all her family and all their belongings and carried them out to safety to be with the camp of the Israelites. What we don't know is between the lines. I'm going to have something to drink. I don't know what's happened this morning. What we don't know is what happened from the time that they rescued Rahab until the time that we find her again appear in Scripture. And the next time she begins to appear in Scripture, she's not identified anymore as Rahab the harlot as such. But now she is mentioned in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So what happened to her? What changed her life? What made the difference? Surely, she was not held in good rapport with the people. I would say the ladies of her day held her in great disdain. But God saw something different. And when we look at the life, thank you, Madonna. I'm sorry about that. When we look at the life of Rahab, there are some things that we can identify in her life that is totally applicable to us today and applicable to mothers and to all alike. And there are four things I want you to see here this morning about Rahab. I want you to understand, first of all, that Rahab recognized the power of God. Now, it's not just enough to believe that there is a God. That's a good start. But the amazing thing is when we begin to recognize the power of God, that he is an awesome God, that he is all-powerful, that he is all-knowing, that he is ever-present. And Rahab recognized the power of Almighty God. That's what she was sharing back with the spies. We understand what's happened. We've seen how that your Lord had opened up the Red Sea and dried it up so that you could come across. We've seen what you've done with the kings of the Amorites. We've seen what has happened because, as she said, your God is Lord in heaven and earth. Rahab recognized the awesome power of a sovereign holy God. Folks, we need to recognize that today. We need to have an understanding that he is God. You know, the last song we sang, I thought how relevant it is to our day and time, that we can face tomorrow because we know who holds tomorrow. We're living in some very difficult times, very uncertain times. But there's one thing that we do know for sure, that we have a God that is still in control. He has not relinquished his power. He is still God. And Rahab recognized the power of Almighty God, that he indeed is supreme above all other gods that they might have had to worship. She recognized it. But still, that was not enough. Just to recognize the power of God, she had to demonstrate some faith. Her faith. The faith that Rahab had was in the delivering power of Almighty God through his people. So she begins to share with the spies, If you will save my family, if you'll save me, my mom, my dad, my brothers, my sisters, if you'll do that, then I will save you. And I'll not say a word about your coming to spy out the land. Her faith was such that she believed that these men would keep their agreement. And her faith was such that their God would also deliver her through them from the Israelites. Now, when you turn over to Hebrews, over into the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews in this 11th chapter, sometimes we call this the Hall of Faith, as he begins to go down the list and he begins to recognize the people of great faith. And when you do so, and you get down to verse 30 of that 11th chapter, verse 30 and 31 of Hebrews 11, look who appears. The Bible says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about by 7 days. But now look at verse 31. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, and she had received the spies in peace. By what? By faith. By faith. Same type of faith that we have. That, not just the knowledge of the power of God, but coming to the point where we place our faith and our trust in that power. the opening verses of that 11th chapter, when he talked about what faith is, faith being the substance of things that are hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen, that's how we are to live by. The just is to live by faith, the Bible says. In fact, it becomes quite clear that without faith, it is impossible, the Bible says, to please God. So what was it that was pleasing in the life of Rahab? The life that she lived was not that pleasing. But the recognition of the power of Almighty God was, and then putting that faith in Him, trusting Him, until the writer of Hebrews begins to list her with all the great patriarchs of all who had that exemplary faith. Rahab was one of them. She was a woman of faith. And so our mothers today are to be women of faith. Men are to be men of faith. We are to be the children of God who believes in the almighty power of God. We are to be the people of faith. But that was not all that happened in her life. From the time that she and her family were carried out to the Israeli camp until the time that we find her appearing now in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible doesn't give us an account of what happens. We have to begin to surmise some things that may have taken place. We do know this, that in the process of time and under God's divine direction, no doubt, she met a man by the name of Solomon. Not Solomon, but Solomon. Now, that's not really important in itself. The importance is that that which happened when Rahab came to meet Solomon and they were married and they produced a child by the name of Boaz. Now, Boaz became the husband of Ruth, the Moabitess. She too is listed now in the lineage of our Lord and our Savior. First there is Rahab, and then there is Ruth, that were not Israelites, that have now been brought into the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course we know that Boaz and Ruth, having married, produced Obed. Obed then produced Jesse, and Jesse produced King David. So when we begin to realize these things, we begin to see the importance that God placed upon a woman that we might have thought was really not significant at all, but God looked at her life and saw significance in it, as He does in all of our lives. When He looks at all of our lives and He begins to say, hey, look, there is something there. There is something there. Who would ever have thought when you looked at a little shepherd boy named David that he'd become king of Israel? So with Rahab, what was the difference? I think what Rahab says to us today, and what it demonstrates to us today, is that power of God for forgiveness. The power of God in forgiveness. Did she need forgiveness? Oh, yes. Do you? Do I? Oh, yes. We all stand in need of the forgiveness of a sovereign, holy God. And so, Rahab, when you look back at her life through Scripture, you begin to see how that God worked in her life, wrought forgiveness in her life. She was forgiven. Faith? Yes. The almighty power of God to forgive? Yes. And that becomes an example for everyone. That everyone stands in need of God's divine forgiveness. But let us not forget how that we obtained that forgiveness and what it cost for us to have that forgiveness. For to understand the true nature of a holy God extending to us His marvelous grace, that grace that we receive freely required the death of His Son on Calvary's cross so that you and I might be forgiven. And Christ demonstrated that from the cross when He looked upon the soldiers who had beaten Him, nailed Him to that cross, who had mocked Him. When He looked at them and looked back to the Father and He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. When we understand that when you look at the life of Rahab, you could be looking at every one of our lives to understand that we all stand in need of forgiveness, and that forgiveness comes because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross when He died for our sins. And by faith, like unto Rahab, by faith we receive that gift of grace into our life. And we're born again. Yes, there is that forgiveness that she experienced by a sovereign God that you and I can experience. He made it possible through Jesus Christ. But there's one other thing that we need to note from Rahab. We need to understand that with Rahab, her past did not dictate her future. Guys, there's a lesson to be learned there. There's a lesson to be learned there. Our past does not have to determine our future. I've encountered a number of people in my ministry that as we have talked, and they would bring up their past, and they would begin to say things like, well, I've been so bad. I've done so many things wrong. I need to get my life straight. What they don't understand is they can't do it on themselves. I can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. But through God, we can. And so when we understand that when forgiveness comes, when God brings into our life that miracle of grace and we're saved, we're his child, then we must remember what the Apostle Paul teaches unto us over in 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter, and I believe it's verse 27. He says, then we've become a what? A new creation. And all of the old things are passed away. And behold, all things become new. We're a child of God. We're not the same as we were. My friend, if you're the same as you were before, you didn't accept anything. For the Bible says there has to be a change that comes, inward change that is expressed outwardly. When we understand then that no matter how bad the past is, it's not so bad that it's outside of God's realm of forgiveness. And he does so. And with the forgiveness, there comes the cleansing, such as John expresses in 1 John 1:9, when he says, if we'll confess our sins, that he, speaking of God, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all our unrighteousness. Not part of our unrighteousness, but all of our unrighteousness. Yes. Rahab had experienced that. She had experienced that cleansing. She was then used of God in a powerful way. She was then included into the lineage of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And a most unlikely candidate for Mother of the Year, God takes and uses to bring forth his own son. Miracle. God is a miracle working God. And he changes us. And so when you stop and think about someone like unto Rahab, we were just as bad. Oh, not in the same identical sins, but we're all sinners. We're all sinners. For the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one, he says. Isaiah said, we, like sheep, we've all gone astray. But what we need to understand is that our future is not dependent upon our past, because we have a God that can change that. And he can really make the past be the past and then give us a future and a hope for tomorrow. That's what he told Jeremiah, wasn't it, in Jeremiah 29:11. He says, I know the thoughts that I think for you. That would do good and not evil. And then he went on to say that you might have a hope and a future. A hope and a future. Listen, if you're carrying around a lot of baggage in your life today, you can dump it today through the power of Almighty God. And your future tomorrow does not have to be dependent upon yesterday. You can start afresh and anew in a relationship with a sovereign holy God through his son, Jesus Christ. And if you are his child and you're still dragging it around, you need to let go and place it all upon him. and let him have control of your life. For you see, the hope of a future does not lie in Washington. It does not lie in the upcoming election. The hope and future lies in the power of a sovereign holy God who is still yet in control and will continue to be in control. So if I want a future that is hopeful and bright and I can expect that eternally, then I've got to go to the source where Rahab went. I've got to go to the Father through the Son. Oh, to God, that we would come to realize the awesome power of an almighty God, that we would express an undying faith in him and allow him to forgive us and cleanse us and empower us to have a bold new future ahead of us. And you can today through him, but only through Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you love us. Lord, when we sometimes look at our lives, we wonder how you could. And yet we know you do. And Father, we've experienced it. And Father, I say thank you today for the moms across our land that stands for firm upon your word. And those that guard their family and teach their family and live the life before their family that demonstrates an unwavering faith in you. But Father, it's not just our moms that it's needed in. It's needed in the life of each and every one of us. God, now may your Holy Spirit literally take control and speak to our hearts, and may we be obedient to that which you lead us to do, in the name of Jesus. For it's in that precious name that we pray.